Welcome home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Positively taking a crab cake tour out on the road. We were at Costas all day on Wednesday. I got berated about Justin Tucker because he couldn't have done it. But you'll hear all of that this week. Leonard Raskin came out and joined me. We had some friends from Planet Fitness. If you do live in the Towson, Timonium, Cockeysville, Hunt Valley area, Planet Fitness has a grand opening on Saturday. Save a lot of money. It's $20 forever for Black Card. Pretty good deal if you make it over to Timonium on Saturday. So I want to give a shout out to our partners there. Also, Curio Wellness and my tastiness tour. My tastiness took me back to places. It's going to take me back to Coco's for coconut shrimp on the 5th, back to Pizza John's for a cheesesteak on the 7th of November. And of course, next Tuesday, we're back at State Fair in the morning. And I didn't put the chicken and waffles or the shrimp and grits on the list, but I'm going to have them both on Tuesday morning. Alan McCallum is going to join me on Tuesday morning. We're going to be in the middle of the World Series at State Fair. And we're going to be in the middle of a very shrunken week next week as the Miami Dolphins wait over the hill for the Chicago Bears. Luke Jones joins us now. And Luke, I had some lucky Raven scratch offs in the Maryland lottery. As I was giving them away, I was in the bar in Costas and I looked up. I got the NST text. It was on TV. Number 8 has walked onto the field. So I'll say this, and I mean this from my heart of hearts, my broken purple heart. They got a chance with him, right? So, I mean, him walking on the field is better than him not walking on the field. It's a better conversation we're having on Thursday than we were on Monday.
Of course. And I do want to say that with the caveat that let's see what his participation level looks like the rest of the week. I don't get the sense that he did a whole lot on Wednesday, even when some of his teammates were asked, like Kyle Hamilton was asked how he looked, and Hamilton kind of paused.
It's a bouja.
We'll
ah,
bouja, no, bouja. No, I'm not saying
no,
that.
Not, I mean, but I'm you're not you're sounding that, but the alarm that maybe that he's not 100%. Can we say that?
Well, he was limited on Wednesday. In contrast, Roquan Smith was full participation. Chidobe Awuzie was full participation. Patrick Ricard was full participation. Ronnie Stanley was full participation.
So this isn't as much good news as I think it is right
I mean,
now.
It's
right
good
now.
News, but I want to make sure that it continues to be good news.
That's why I keep you around, because I didn't realize all this. I didn't read up
on
it.
I mean, it's just and look, we see the first 30 minutes or so of practice. He jogged onto the field about 20 minutes into the viewing period. And
how performative, right? Like they script this for you guys, right? For the public, really? It's part of the reality thing. I mean
it can be.
Vinny Testaverde used to just walk out with everybody. So did Joe. I mean, it wasn't this purple plumes of smoke to say, hey, we're going to show that he's out on the field, right? I mean, like I'm thinking like Harbaugh, because Harbaugh's twisted, dude. Trust me. You know, like, and the fact that he's 20 minutes into a 30, it feels to me like he wasn't fully with it on Wednesday. That's my read as a fan, as a media guy, that we should be cautious in what we think his capabilities are going to be on Sunday physically. Is that the official word?
Well, I mean, it's not the official word, because the official word is no official word, right? I mean, John Harbaugh didn't want to get into it.
That's the Ravens' way. Yeah, of course. Competitive reasons.
A lot of teams do that.
That's okay, but people gamble on this. But go ahead. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're making money on it, but go ahead.
That's on the people who gamble on it, though.
They
need to know that. It's the truth.
John Harbaugh lies. I wrote that in my column this week. As long as you know that, you're good to go. Make your bets. Place your bets, gentlemen.
I'm laying that out there. I'm not saying that that's definitely what it is, but at the same time, he was a late arrival onto the field. Now, there are plenty of examples over the years where a player's getting treatment, a player's a little bit late onto the field. Players can be late onto the field because they're drug tested, right? Because that goes on throughout the season as well. So there are lots of reasons for that, but I'm noting that because he was limited, because we didn't see him do a whole lot during the open period. A lot of people asked me how he looked. Let's be clear, during the opening portion of practice that media are privy to watching, it's generally not a time period where Lamar Jackson or anyone who's not taking part in special teams, because that's the special teams portion of practice, is moving strenuously, is moving 100% full effort anyway. So to sit here and say that he looked great, or to sit here and say he looked bad, would be disingenuous.
It's almost a stretching period, the first half an hour,
kinda,
right? Yeah.
Kinda. I mean, it's, you know, he threw some passes. Look, he took reps behind Tyler Huntley and Cooper Rush. That should tell you something right there, at least in terms of Wednesday. That's why I'm just saying, let's see what the participation looks like by the end of the week. If he's full go Thursday, Friday, into the weekend, then yeah, he's playing. But if it's, if we see something where for some reason he's not out there Thursday or he seems very limited again, and same with Friday, then you start to
Why
wonder.
keep going back to playing him when he's not 100% isn't in
Yes.
anybody's best interest? But when you're 1-5, I'll
It's
use
tough.
Tom Brady's word. They're desperate. And
Well,
every game's a playoff game. I heard that coming out of there this week, too.
and that's the other problem when you have a backup quarterback who looked as woeful as Cooper Rush looked in those two games, right? I mean, look at the 49ers. I've used them as an example, as a contrast to what we've seen with the Ravens as far as their inability to rise up despite their
The
injuries.
Mighty Mac.
I mean, the Mac Jones, yeah, he hasn't been great for them, but he's played well enough. It's been
It's been
complimentary
W's and
enough
not L's.
that they've won, right?
All
So
right.
if you were in a position where, first of all, if you had won one of those two games, like we were really saying at the time, if they could have been 2-4, then there's not as much pressure for this specific game on Sunday. And there's also the wrinkle, and you talked about this a lot in one of our conversations earlier in the week. You also have the caveat of you have a quick turnaround for the game in Miami. You have 4 days after the Ravens play Sunday. So, look, Lamar Jackson being on the practice field is good news. It's always good news. I just want to pump the brakes a little bit on it, meaning 100%, no questions asked, that he's 100%, he's going to play, and there's no fear of a setback and all that, right?
And I tell
Because
you what, him being ginger on Wednesday just tells me he's not 100%, right? Like, because
and
they'd
that's.
much rather have him not be a mystery and walk out there and practice and play and be okay. I don't
Sure.
think they're playing coy on him being perfect. I don't think it's that way. John's playing all these head games. He does it with me. You know, he sends me his God loves me text and all that stuff. Sure, God would love me for me to be a reporter, John. So, God knows I'm a reporter, John. So I would just say with John, I'm it. Everything's a mystery to me, and I've learned that over 18 years of dealing with this, and their lack of integrity and their lack of force. So we're always guessing, and they like it that way, so they can point at us and call us liars and say we're wrong, like all of that. That's who Chad Steele is. It's who John Harbaugh is. It's clearly who Steve Bisciotti, what they want the organization to be, because he sits on top of this. But I would say, if Lamar's out there at 100% and they're 1-5 and running around, he's not playing games with the Bears at this point. I don't think, because like they're 1-5. They need him out there 100% at practice and not having us talking about it today and just talking about can they win instead of
Sure.
is he going to play? If he plays, what's his percentage? If he's not 100%, it's not going to be good. I mean, I'm just being honest. Well, like if he can't run on Sunday, I'm not saying play Cooper Rush. I'm with you. I go back to your
Right.
last point and say
But
that
that's
stunk.
part of the problem. That's part of the equation here, right? I mean, and I said to you after Monday when he wasn't out there, Lamar needs to practice not just for Lamar's sake to get his game clock back. And again, I'm using that with the caveat of oh, they were being, people were saying, oh, they're being coy on Monday, right? No, he needs to practice. This offense needs him to practice. They all need to be practicing in the sense that what you just said, they are 1-5 and the urgency is at an all-time high. And, Kyle Hamilton said it Wednesday, they need to be treating all of these games like they're playoff games, right? I mean, that's
So if this
they
were a playoff game this week, this wouldn't be about being coy. Get his ass out on the field, get him practicing, let's get
right.
things normal. If he's limited and willing to tell you that, I don't think it's a mind game for the Bears to be preparing for Cooper Rush. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking about it in
The Bears
tactical
are.
football terms versus just, dude, we wake up, we don't know if he's coming out to practice or not. If I believe John, I'd say he doesn't know how Lamar's going to feel today or certainly how he's going to feel on Sunday. But let's make this clear. This is the headline. He's not 100%.
I mean, I
As of
think.
this moment, he's not. If he had to play this morning, I would expect less than 100% of Lamar Jackson today, where I don't know that I felt that way when he walked on the field Wednesday in the national news. Lamar's back. Lamar's back. You and I are talking about it a little differently than Lamar's back.
I think it lends itself to the idea that that should have been the assumption all along from the time that he didn't practice Monday, right? Because of what we just said. If he's 100%, you're not being coy at this point in time. First of all, the idea that you're going to be coy, I mean, so do we think if there's even a little bit of doubt that the Bears are just saying, oh, well, we don't have to worry about Lamar whatsoever. We're not going to prepare for Lamar. We're going to be ready for Cooper Rush. No, they're preparing for Lamar Jackson as much as
And
possible.
they're preparing for Lamar Jackson to be eminently catchable because he's going to run at 80%. Like,
But they're not going to prepare for that. They're going to prepare for Lamar to be 100%, right?
right.
And but
Sure.
that said, the idea that there's some, oh, wow, they're going to prepare for Lamar. The joke's going to be on them. We're going to trot out Cooper Rush or Tyler Huntley. You know, I mean,
To
when you
your point
see
with
those.
hamstrings, it's a good bet to think that Lamar's not going to scamper for a 78-yard touchdown on this Sunday, which was his special power, his
Yeah.
magic power
Well, he's got
over on his
more than
best
that,
day
but.
is he's always a threat to do that. This Sunday, I would say if you're betting on the team or against the team, this is a Sunday where that's going to be taken away from him. That I sit here before the game and say, that's one thing if I'm the Bears that I'm thinking, well, let him play. We want him to play at 80% because that makes him a little bit more vulnerable. Just one time, one sack, one place, and we'll get him out of the game because that's the way these people think.
I mean, I don't know if I'm the Bears and I'm preferring a less than 100% Lamar Jackson over there are other alternatives. I mean,
Fair enough.
he can still throw the
But
football really
Lamar's going to
well.
play. But Lamar,
So,
like, I feel like Lamar's going to play.
it's funny because just talking to us, because look, we're out there every day at practice. We kind of observe what we see. It was evident that he wasn't taking, I mean, he was listed as limited, right? He didn't practice Monday. There's evidence here. There's documented evidence here that he's not 100% just yet, right? Whether that means he's 99 or 98 or 90, right? I mean, I don't think it's much worse than that, or he wouldn't even be out there at, like I don't think this is
If they're
when
7-2 and playing the Jets this week, he's out there with a clipboard, probably. Probably.
probably, but you're not in that
Yeah.
position, right?
Right.
And he understands that, and the team understands that, right? I mean, that's why I said that's the difference now. As opposed to when you were 1-3 coming out of the Kansas City game, you've dropped two more games since then, right? So it is different now than it was talking about this in week four going into week five. So we're going to see. Again, this isn't me saying he's not playing. This isn't me saying that he's not going to be in very good health come Sunday. But the evidence to this point in the week does make me take some pause. Now, I will say this, and this was kind of talked about because some. Yeah, I've seen some opine. I saw Dan Graziano on ESPN even had a little snippet in one of their insider column they do on I think it's Wednesday mornings, and he was pointing out to the or pointing out the idea that maybe Lamar maybe the target is Thursday night's game against Miami next week, but I also think just from an optics standpoint, if he's practicing on a limited basis, even if it's limited all week and then doesn't play Sunday. That almost looks worse than him not being on the field at all, right? And so I don't know. I would also say we have a long enough history now with what happened in 2021 and what happened in 2022. And I'm not questioning or suggesting there was anything that was nefarious going on there, but those were two injuries where, and maybe the bone bruise on the ankle was a different story because he did try to play or practice. What was that, the third week of December, something like that?
He couldn't
He
walk.
was out there one day and he could barely walk. I mean, he looked
Yeah.
like Fred Sanford out there walking. I mean, I remember at the time it looked
Dion looked
so,
like that at the end of his career, too.
it was so pronounced that I don't like, for a moment, I thought he was like trolling us, just like playing a gag. And then we didn't see him again the rest of the year. And it's like, oh, well, he was out there and shouldn't have been. You know, the knee, there was a little more ambiguity, right? I mean, the Ravens, a week or two into that injury, did think he was going to return and he didn't. But it was a PCL injury. I cited it at the time. I'll cite it again. I mean, that was the Breshad Perriman injury that he had his rookie year. That is a tricky kind of injury. That's what Jaire Alexander is still dealing with a year later, right? So, but my point in saying all that is in the best possible way we could categorize and describe those previous situations with Lamar is. He doesn't seem to be the fastest healer in the world. And I'm not saying that he's jaking it or anything like that. Some players heal more quickly than others. Some players push injuries more. There's more of a, hey, I'll play at less than 100% than other guys. And to your point, and I've said it as well, given Lamar Jackson's style of play, and let's also throw the other factor out there, Nestor. We talked about Lamar's playing style. We talked about the fact that they're 1-5, the state of this offensive line is also a major part of that as well. If this offensive line was pass protecting and playing and performing as it did 2 years ago, or go back to the 2019 season when Marshall Yanda was still the anchor there, then yeah, you'd feel way more confident about a less than 100% Lamar playing behind that offensive line. But you also have a very leaky, very porous offensive line. So I'm not saying all this to throw cold water on the idea that Lamar is definitely playing on Sunday. I'm saying this to throw out the reality that there are a lot of variables at work here. And the hard truth is the clock is really ticking in terms of your record and what another loss would mean. And knowing if you drop this game and you're 1-6, you have three straight road games, let alone talking about what lies ahead after that. So, yeah, there's a heightened sense of urgency here. Yeah, I think, if Lamar Jackson's as close to 100% as he can be without actually being 100%, I think there's definitely a rationale to give it a go and to play and see how it goes. But you have to be at a certain point for that to even be part of the conversation. And that's where I just look at this and say, okay, he didn't practice Monday. He was limited on Wednesday. The way that players kind of talked about him, is in very generic terms. So I don't know how much he did Wednesday. Let's just see how the rest of the week plays out, right? I mean, if Wednesday was the dip your toes in, but then Thursday, hey, you're taking your reps, you're still limited, but you're much closer to full. And then Friday, you're full. Then he's going to play, right? And then everyone will be happy about that and excited about that, as they should be. And the Ravens need him. We know that, right? But
Well,
yeah,
we
you
hope the
do have
news gets better over the next 48 hours,
no
right? Like
question,
literally,
no
yeah.
question. And look, there's still going to be, even assuming he's out there Sunday, it's a hamstring. It's one of those injuries that has a higher setback rate, right? I mean, I think back to last year, and he's in the news because he j just had another injury, a broken collarbone for Mike Evans. But think about it. Mike Evans had a bad hamstring going into that Ravens Monday night game last year. We saw him wide open for a deep ball, and he pulled a hamstring, or I think he dropped it as he pulled his hamstring again. And he was out, I think, a couple more weeks after that, right? So we also understand that. That's part of the risk here. And the same applies for Roquan Smith or any of these other guys with hamstrings. I mean, it's not a torn ACL, but it's something that can linger and cause a setback, and it can be something that really hurts you for an extended period of time. That's why you have to try to be as careful as possible. But the clock is ticking so loudly now in terms of, we already know that, the number, the math suggests you need to win 9 of your last 11 just to get to 10 wins, right? Which is the benchmark that I feel confident in them making the playoffs in some shape or form. But you lose one of those right off the bat, then you're talking, I mean, 9 of 10, right? And then playing in Miami, short week. And I get it, the Dolphins are trash. But as Kyle Hamilton even pointed out, he's like, look, we have to have the self-awareness that other teams are looking at us on the schedule right now as the get-right game, as the game where we can say, hey, man, we can bury
Well, we don't
Baltimore.
have to worry about a pass rush.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, they have all these other flaws, and that's why I wanted to throw out the state of the offensive line being another consideration here, whether Lamar plays or not, right? In terms of how effective he
If
can
they
be.
stink and Lamar's healthy, he won't be healthy
I
long.
mean, look, Nestor, they were 1-3 with Lamar, and I know he left the Kansas City game early, but they were already on their way to a loss by then, right? I mean, that game wasn't trending well even with
By the way,
Lamar.
what's the fascination with how he got hurt? Why, like, that's such a bizarre concept to say you're bleeding. What happened? Like, what
Yeah.
difference does it make? You're bleeding. Like, I don't, I get all of this.
Right.
Why didn't somebody ask him how he got hurt? And I'm like, what difference does it make? I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
that's my old guy.
guess my, no, I hear you, and I agree for the most part. My only curiosity would have been, did you tweak it at some other point leading up to the end of that drive? Because everyone saw the last play where, he goes to the ground and, was tackled or hit or whatever the play was. But it didn't look that bad, right? Like that play in isolation didn't, you didn't see, there wasn't this, oh, he screams and grabs the back of his thigh, right? Where you see that with, when someone really hurts a hamstring. So I think there's a curiosity in terms of, did he tweak it in the second quarter, right? And he played through it for, a quarter and a half or something like that. I don't know, right? But I'm with you on that. I think a lot of it's just trying to diagnose it as best as you can. I mean, the David Chow's of the Twitter and social media space, and Dr. Chow himself, is pretty good at looking at video and diagnosing. It's not 100%, but he does have a pretty high rate at doing that. So I think there's maybe a question that it pertains to that if you can kind of see when it happened, you get a better idea of just how serious it might be, but
Well, thanks
clearly it
for
was a,
educating me on that because, like,
but it
I'm
was serious.
just not.
No, I gotcha.
And if I gambled on it, I wouldn't care, and I would just say, "Well, you know, is he playing? What's his
Oh,
percentage?
sure.
What's his chances? What are the matches? You know, like what? Like I just that's the part of it that I don't understand.
That's
And
fine.
I get the curiosity that if he fell out of bed the wrong way or stepped on a nail, or you know, not to bring up the Blue Jays thing here this week, but
Sure. But yeah, but I also think, I mean, there's a curiosity to it. But look, I mean, clearly it was a serious enough hamstring that he missed 2 games, and his status is still in doubt even with the week off, right? I mean, to me, if you're looking at it, so Sunday will mark 4 weeks. If you kind of look at what a grade one going to a grade two hamstring is, you know, generally that's like a 4-ish week kind of thing. And look, grade one versus grade two, I mean, there's gray area. There's ambiguity, right? It's
Dr.
not
Luke
like,
Jones has Googled this.
yeah, no, but my point is, it's not like you know, it's not like the M you put a put someone in an MRI and it spits out, oh yeah, this is a definitive grade one. It's not a grade, right? I mean, you have some gray area, and you know, so was this a grade one slash grade two? Like, that would be right around the 4 week injury. So if that's what it was, then this timeline isn't all that out of the ordinary, right? And you would question whether he absolutely should go this week, but Cooper Rush has been awful. Tyler Huntley's not much better. Their offensive line is pass protection is terrible. So
But they have
I
great
mean,
skill position players.
but they're 1-5 and they need to win, right? I mean, like, so you have all these other factors. Look, none of this is ideal. Even if he plays Sunday, you're going to be holding your breath. And I don't, when I say
It's
you, I
so
mean,
weird for us to have this season on the brink like this in the middle
no
of the World
question.
Series.
No
Like, you and
question.
I have been at this for 2 decades together since 2008, 9, whatever it's been, and we're pushing.
2015 is the only year where that happened, right? I mean, they were one and they started that year 1-6. It was over. You know, that's the only year. Even other years where things didn't work out. So, like, you think of 2013, they didn't make the playoffs. I mentioned 15.
There were years that they were clearly not good enough. They were sort of
Yeah.
trailing Cincinnati. They had flaws. They had
We were in it.
weaknesses. Whatever it was, you sort of knew that they were the fourth or fifth best team in the AFC. We've been believing they've been, some people around here believe they've been the best the last 4 or 5. Nothing about January would indicate that,
Sure.
but lots about their statistics and DVOA. And when I bring on Tanier or I bring on, you know, any of the nerds about their operation offensively and the revolution and all of that stuff, even the way they played defense several of these years over the last 8 years as well. This year is so, I mean, it's not even so far in. It's for people like us and pundits to look at it and say, not just that it's not their year, but on their best day, they're probably overrated at this point based on the offensive and defensive lines, that they
Yeah.
can only be so good. Like, if
Yeah,
they
I
were
mean,
0-0 and starting the season this week and Lamar were healthy, I'd look at this and say, they have some real weaknesses here that are not going to make them a 15-win kind of team.
or if you were talking about it, which is where they are, where it's an 11-game season, you have a tough time envisioning 9-2
Right.
because of what you just said. Now, the schedule on paper, yeah, it's not the most imposing schedule. And I do think there are quite a few wins there. But
Seven
is
and
it,
four is fine. 8-3
yeah,
is good, but it still wouldn't be good enough
seven
now.
and four leaves them 8-9, right? I mean, 7-4 is a good record. Like, that's it's not legendary, but it's good. 7-4. You know, can they go 7-4? Yeah, I think they can. Like, assuming they stay relatively healthy the
Good. That
rest
gets
of the
you the
way.
18th pick in the draft in April.
But yeah, that's where you, but this is the bed you made for yourself, right? This is why we talked about it in terms of the Orioles. When they were 16-34, you're thinking about it in terms of, my goodness, you need to be what, 28 games over 500 the rest of the way
To
just to
win
get to
90.
10
Yeah.
games over, right? I
Yeah.
mean, like, that's what kind of crazy territory you're in. So it's not ideal, but you have to start somewhere. And even if he's not fully 100% on Sunday,
It's the Super Bowl,
if Lamar
right?
Jackson's
Literally,
out
it's
there,
the
like,
Super Bowl Sunday for them.
yeah, I mean, it's not, but man, I would say psychologically, if you come out of the bye week,
If you're 1-6, what difference does it make if Lamar's playing in Miami on
and
Thursday?
that's, but that, yeah, that's, I mean, you could say, okay, well, they could win 9 of 10. You just get to a point now where it's like, this is starting to sound like fantasy land. I mean, 9 of 11 is already far-fetched, right? When you consider just that it's the NFL,
They have to go
and
9-2 to get to 10. Leonard and I were talking about
yeah,
that, and I'm
that's
like, what about
tough.
this team makes you think they're 9-2?
I mean, like, previous versions, like, hey, 2019, they won their last 12 games in the regular season. 2020, I think they won their last five in a row. 2023, they went on a heck of a run that year to sew up the number one seed to the point where they rested their
Well,
starters and
2 years
didn't
ago,
get
they never
blown.
lost.
Well, that's what I mean. So, but this team hasn't exuded any of those qualities. They don't have that vibe right now. I mean, we're talking about, the things being removed from the locker room, like,
Dude, let's talk about. Can we talk
let's
about
talk
that?
because I
Because
have
we haven't
thoughts on
talked
that.
about that. Luke is here. He's Baltimore Luke. They're gonna play football on Sunday. I wrote the nastiest email to John Harbaugh that he so richly deserves for his fraudulence along all of this over 2 decades. Him, Steele, DaCosta, Bisciotti, PU, all of you. You've earned your 1-5. Now that being said, and they earned my truth, which is the truth. All of that being said. I've talked about accountability, integrity, all of that, maturity. I mean, Chad Steele's one of the most immature humans that I've ever dealt with, and I've dealt with this for 20 years, just on where truth is, where integrity is, where looking in the eye, where being a person of your word is for all of this, right? And I look at the place out there, and I called it unruly. I called it sleazy. You can get all the words. I'm a synonym guy. I've got a thesaurus. I have Roget's thesaurus here, and I don't use AI, but I should more often. I would say that from the fans' perspective, to wake up on Tuesday to a 1-5 football team, where the quarterback's limping, where the all of them have run out the back door in a way that I've never in 40 years of covering sports. And I've talked to a lot of people the last 2 weeks, Marvin Lewis, Howard Balzer, people that have been doing this forever and ever. And going back to the Joe Flacco being the poster boy this week for everything. By the way, I love this thing about eating alone. I'll
Oh, it
never
was
eat
great.
alone ever again and not think of Joe
It's
Flacco, which
so
is even better.
relatable.
It was even
Even
better because
my
I've been the guy
brother,
eating alone in Great Falls, Montana at a steakhouse.
my brother-in-law, who's not even a Ravens fan, sent me that and said, "Man, this is the most relatable thing an athlete, one of the more relatable things an athlete has ever said." I said,
Well,
"You're
you know
correct."
Joe well. I know him weller, and I just love Joe. But the notion of, are you professional? Do you understand even what your obligations as a professional are? Do you understand that this isn't Pop Warner? This isn't JV. You're not the star of the varsity team. You're not Nick's boy down at Bama, and everything's a free meal and everything's a free lunch, and the girls are free. Money for nothing, chicks for free, right? Like that Justin Tucker. We'll get to that. Because he was at the heart of the cornhole epidemic in their clubhouse. And look, man, I remember with the Orioles back in the 90s, guys doing crossword puzzles in the room. There was a dartboard at one point. They had some games and different things like that. And then football came to town. Ping pong and clubhouses in baseball, famous ping pong tables. I remember all of that. I had a radio station here 28 years ago. I put a bubble hockey in the basement of ping pong. It wrecked my company. Nobody wanted to work. I'm being honest with you. It's before you got here. But this, Ray Bachman would remember this. Anybody that was here, it's before Forrester got here. This is the Bob Haney era. I turned myself, my place into a great place to be because I wanted people to want to be at work, right? This is almost laughable that it got out and the Sun wrote it and you wrote it and everybody's writing about it. And I haven't been in the locker room in years because I'm the reporter that's not allowed to be there because I'm Hispanic, long-haired, honest, all of that, right? People were laughing at them, dude. You're 1-5 football team and you're taking the games out of the locker room. That's more embarrassing than anything. Well, maybe not. I mean, what John's done to me personally and
I mean, 1-5
professionally
is
is
more
gross,
embarrassing
but
than taking the games out. But here's the problem. And look, reporting, I think some of this is semantics, to be totally honest. The Raven, Harbaugh has a leadership council of players. And this goes back to
are they
probably
the
going
ones that
on.
endorse when Mark Andrews runs out the back door and when, like, hey, dude, we lose. Somebody's got to go face the media, not named John Jenkins. Do they have that in their leader kit? Not the media, the fans. Somebody needs to stand up and be accountable when we get our ass kicked. And Luke, I go back with this, and you were a little boy, but back in 96, 97, 98, I don't know if your dad brought you out to the barn or not, but they lost a lot. And I had Marvin on last week. They lost a lot. I'm telling you, in all of the years I did the show out there, I can name the two or three guys that stood me up. And I never spoke to them again because, like, you're going to give me your word in Cleveland on Sunday afternoon, tell me you're coming out to meet fans. I'm going on the radio, and there was no internet to say show's canceled or whatever. And I saw the look of kids, some little Luke that came down with his with Justin and Daddy in 1997, and Goose doesn't show up. That didn't happen, and because they lost. I mean, I remember being out there after they got their ass kicked in Pittsburgh, and Wally Richardson came out, Kim Herron came out in 1998. Like, dude. They lost a lot, and they had accountability. Not accountability to come out for 2 minutes to in the locker room where they work to do what their job is, which is front face the community, win or lose, from an integrity level, from a just from being a man, from being mighty men, mighty men. So their council thumbs down on whoever their council leadership is, because I don't smell the leadership in that locker room that Kyle Van Noy thinks he does. And certainly people like Marlowe, like, dude, from the minute I met that kid's not a leader. That kid's just an elite athlete. That's all he is. I mean, he's an elite athlete until he's not.
I mean, he's a
And
heck of a he's been a heck of a
Joe
football player.
Flacco's an elite human. And that shows up every minute of every, it doesn't take a effing second off. Joe Flacco doesn't take a second off. And with these guys, a lot of times I don't, when Lamar's telling fans to perform fellatio on him on the internet, it stays up for 5 days, and nobody around there, when female reporters are having people come up to them and say, you can't do this, you can't say that, you're making things up about our accountability. Like, dude, that place is sleazy was the word I used. I'll stick with that. But I think this gaming thing for the fans at 1-5, it's a punchline for the fan base. It's embarrassing for the fan base.
And
That's
this
all.
is the see, this is the problem. And look, what I've gathered, and obviously the Ravens were clearly doing some damage control with, I think it was mentioned on Pat McAfee and all
Well,
that.
that's Chad's job. He they're in constant damage
But even
control instead of being in relationship building.
I get
That's
it,
the
and I call
God's honest truth.
okay. Well, let's stick to the games here for just a moment. I acknowledge everything else you just said, but. So, I think some of this can be semantics from the standpoint of, okay, who initiated this? Was it Harbaugh talking to the leadership council? Was it some of the veteran players in the locker room that said, do we need to get rid of some of this stuff right now? Like, is it a bad look? And this is the
Probably
problem.
Kyle Van Noy telling the wife beater guy in Indianapolis, right? Like, they have like real relationship, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I heard some other players that wanted it out. I don't know. The problem is, this is why you don't do any of that, right? Leave it in the locker room, because whoever initiated it, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the players, it's going to be talked about, and then it becomes another distraction on top of everything you're going that's going on that actually matters. I mean, this is eyewash. These guys aren't late to the practice field because they're sitting there playing pinball, right? I mean, it's eyewash. It doesn't really matter. So that's where, to me, just leave it alone. You draw attention to something like this, and then it creates another distraction. It's no different than, you start getting into, oh man, these guys in the locker room, they're smiling too much. That means they don't care. Oh man, these guys frown too much. That means they're completely defeated and they're not going to get up off the mat and play better, right?
Joe
You
doesn't
start.
lay in the middle of the field and beat on the
Right.
ground like a 9-year-old in a Charlie Brown,
He did.
like.
He did plank against Denver like that. That did happen, but. The point with all of this is it just draws more attention. Like you have those things in the locker room, it's fine. I have no problem with them having a ping pong table in the locker room and cornhole board. The cornhole boards have been in the locker room for years.
Since
Yester,
Justin Tucker.
how you, but
He and
they
Sam
have,
Cook led the Wolfpack, and
yes, in that era.
dude, I had to watch out for beanbags in my head in the locker room because they played corn. They love cornhole.
And you know how many times it's been played in the last 10 years? I could probably count on 2 hands and have fingers left over. It's barely used anymore. So my point with all of that is, what are you doing? Like you're doing something that ultimately some reporters are going to know, not some or all reporters are going to notice, and it's going to come out at some point, or you're going to have a one guy in the locker room who might be agitated by it, or a couple guys in the locker room. Just let it be. And if you have an issue where guys are late to the practice field or late to meetings because they're playing pinball or they're playing cornhole, then handle that internally. Find them, discipline them however you handle those things internally. But you need to, like, the last thing you want to do is start changing things, right? I mean, that reeks of like desperation. And to your point, like it's a punchline then. Whether it was John Harbaugh, whether it was Lamar Jackson, whether it was Kyle Van Noy, whether it was Kyle Hamilton, like just don't mess with that. Like you mess with something like that midstream, then it looks like it looks like you have no clue what you're
It looks
doing,
like you're
right?
changing the lawn furniture on the deck
Yeah.
of the Titanic,
Yeah.
is what it
So
looks like.
like for me, it's not even about who initiated that. It's the fact that everyone went along with that in some shape or form to think that that was a good idea. Did you not think anyone was going to notice? Did you not think it wouldn't be asked about by someone at some point, right? I mean, and by the way, like some of the dialogue, some of the discourse that's out there on social media, I'm pretty sure that stuff was taken out after the Kansas City game. So, like, if this wasn't like a 1 in 5 thing, it was, I guess, a 1 in 3 thing. But for me, these things weren't, when we're in there for the 45 minutes that we're in there 3 times a week, it's not like 40 guys were like they were children, like arguing, oh, it's my turn, it's my, like it was stuff that's barely used. There's a basketball hoop not far from Lamar Jackson's locker. I mean, I'll see a player shoot a basket or two for 30 seconds every now and then, but like usually it's just a decoration, right? Usually it's, think about it in terms of, anyone who remembers, and I don't mean parties, but like what a frat house just looked like. It had a pinball machine, like it had a ping pong table, right? And those things are just kind of in the locker room, right? So I guess my point is when you take it out, whether it's the coach doing it or whether it was a player-driven idea, it leads to another distraction, and people were talking about that. And people were, I mean, Kyle Hamilton was asked about it, and he, kind of gave up. He didn't know, which, it's just, it's dumb, right? It's eyewash. I don't think those guys playing ping pong in the locker room had any impact whatsoever on the fact that they were 1 in 3. In the
Just
same
take
way
it
that
from
if, in the same
a.
way that if you take it out, I don't think it has any impact on them getting better as a
If
football
it
team.
leaks
Who
out
even
in the media, if it
could it
leaks out in the
be?
media and it becomes a headline,
It's just dumb.
in some way, if my father were still alive, there'd be a point for him that he loved the team so much, he'd say, "Well, good, they need to focus." So at least
Sure.
there's somebody out there saying, "Well, good, they should take boys away from these
Yeah,
millionaires."
I just.
There's sort of that grievance thing
Yeah.
about it. If you're
I.
pissed off that they're 1 in 5 or whatever, that they're doing all that they could do. I'm pretty sure they were doing all they could do to beat Kansas City. I'm not accusing them of not working
Yeah, I
hard or
just.
playing too much in the locker room, or I can accuse them of all sorts of things that they do. Here's what I'm going to accuse them of. You know what? Not being a good enough football team. That's at the heart
Fair
of it,
enough.
and being a banged up team and not having a quarterback, that's what I would accuse them of right now. I
Yeah,
would
so.
accuse their veteran players of underperformance and the young players of not stepping up. That's what I would accuse them of.
And I'll take all the coaches to task. They haven't done a good enough. No one has done enough good enough job. Everyone owns 1 to 5 from 1 in 5 from the owner on down to the last ball boy on the staff, right? I mean, that's everyone is 1 in 5. It's not just John Harbaugh. It's not just Lamar Jackson. It's not just the offensive
Is
line. It's
there
not just.
anybody on this roster that feels good about their own personal play? I'm looking at it and saying, who's getting themselves paid from doing this year? And I'm like, and it's even affected Linderbaum and some guys that
Yeah,
were
I
in line
mean,
to get paid.
look, no, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say everyone's playing poorly or anything like that. But yeah, like to sit here and say if anyone's having like a career year, I mean, I've seen some people mention Jordan Stout's had a solid year punting. It's like, okay, like Linderbaum has, and
I
to be
remember when they
clear,
didn't punt around here.
sure. And to be clear, you mentioned Tyler Linderbaum, and I want to make sure we're presenting this accurately. Like, he hasn't had a bad year, but I would say he hasn't been at his absolute best. And I think a lot of that has to do with the two guard, the guards flanking him, right?
100%.
So, yeah, I mean, you kind of look at this
How can
thing,
Zay
and
Flowers or Bateman have a great year when they can't get passes off?
I mean, Zay Flowers was having a strong year until two fumbles against the Rams, but those are two really pivotal fumbles in that football game. So, yeah, I mean, and to just put a bow on the whole game thing in the locker room, I again, for me, and what you said as far as the old school thought of that, I'll hear that. I acknowledge that.
John Harbaugh's father would
It's
say that'll
all
let the get the
eyewash.
fans no confidence that we're
It's all
showing the fans we're
eyewash.
doing something here, that
And
we're
again,
serious.
but again, that's when you start getting into, oh, these guys are smiling too much, or oh, these guys aren't smiling enough, right? I mean, like, you just start grab it gives you something else to hold on to as far as everything that's wrong with this football team right now. And
Well,
that's
they're
where I
one in
look at this
five.
and
If you're
say,
pissed as a fan, and I would always say this, you think that they don't care. This was out there in the Billick era when I took phone calls all day.
they're
Everybody's
miserable.
angry. It's
They're
like at
miserable.
Rex and Brian and Marvin or whatever. And I'm like, they care a lot. They're trying hard. So I don't
It doesn't
think
mean
that.
that, yeah, it doesn't mean they know how to fix everything, because I think that's evident too. I mean, I've said it to you. I don't see a path short of them going out and making a couple really legitimate trades. I don't see a path for this pass rush getting to a level where it needs to get, where it's at least okay,
Where they can
right?
win 9 games out of
Because
11,
Matt
right?
Ibike is not walking through that door, right? He's out for the year, right? I mean, they traded Oweh. Not that Oweh was doing anything, but like, I mean, they have three healthy outside linebackers on their roster right now, and I'm sure they're going to either acquire somebody, sign somebody, whatever. But for the time being, they're probably going to elevate Malik Hammer, Kamon Rucker from the practice squad. Like, who exactly, right? I mean, that's what you're
Well,
talking
we're
about here.
down to who now, right?
Yeah,
Literally.
exactly. I mean, man, you look at that from an edge standpoint, from a D-line standpoint, and that's when we go back to the whole, are they really constructed, even if they stay healthy from this point on, even if Lamar is healthy and upright the rest of the way, are they truly constructed to win 9 of 11, even with a schedule that's pretty forgiving on paper? Man, that's where I really have my doubts that your O-line and your D-line alone, forget about any other questions, are going to be consistent enough. And, hey, we're going to find out, right? They're not going to cancel the season. I mean, even if Lamar doesn't play on Sunday and they lose, they're not going to cancel the rest of the season. So we're going to see how this plays out. And, you mentioned leadership questions. I have leadership questions as well. I think you always have to question leadership when you're 1-5, for a team that had high expectations, right? I mean, that's natural to question that. We're going to find out a lot about all these guys over the next, I mean, it's crazy to say, still 2.5 months, almost 2.5 months of season left, right? I mean, this is not ending anytime soon, even if their playoff hopes happen to end in the not too distant future. So, yeah, we're going to see what's under the hood. And through 6 games, man, hasn't been pretty. And this ping pong table and all this stuff in the locker room was just such an avoidable thing. Like, just don't mess with that. Don't mess with that. I mean, seriously. Don't mess with that, because all it does is draw attention to something else, and it just makes people, I think it, people have mocked this rightfully, because it was a bad idea either way, whether it was player driven or coach driven. Don't mess with that, because that's just something else for people to gravitate to say once again that the locker room's fractured, or you guys aren't on the same page, you guys aren't thinking about the right things, whatever. And you know what? When you're in that position, the answer is kind of yes, right? Perception's reality when you're 1-5.
He is Luke Jones. I am Nestor. They're going to play football at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Any breaking news will happen first on the WNST Tech Service. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. You know how good it is. I am doing crab cakes on Tuesday morning. We'll be at State Fair in Catonsville. I will have Raven scratch offs to give away. My big thanks to Curio Wellness, as well as GBMC. Did a big segment this week. I have my colonoscopy set up for a month from now, so I'll be talking a lot about that for all the fellas out there to get educated on the PSA. Make sure. Hey, Luke, how old are you? Over
42.
40. Yeah, you go. You're on the list. I've been on the list 15 years, but you're on the list for the colonoscopy. So for all men out there, I will be doing a lot of awareness and my own personal awareness in the next couple of weeks as well. So thanks to our friends at GBMC for keeping us healthy. And we're getting out on the road. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the 5th at Coco's. And on the 7th, we'll be at Pizza John's in Essex. We were at Costas and Timonium the other day, even though Damian O'Doherty went to Dundalk. Still looking for crabs in Timonium, looking for me in Dundalk. I was in Timonium. I'll be back in Dundalk. I've made a deal. I'm not going back to Dundalk till Gina Schott gets back for the holidays. So we'll do a little rock and roll Christmas as well. So, big month ahead, big week ahead. Football on Sunday, football on Thursday. He's Luke. He's on it. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.